And that's how the last episode ended. On this episode of...
Wait, were we just recording that?
Yeah.
Motherfucker. Lights go down and you found yourself surrounded, astounded by the veteran crew that you discounted. But we're back for our piece of this game, and we remain on a mission to increase the recognition of the name that you saw on the marquee when you walked in the building to the show. Thought you bought your potholes, but we feel them. It's just one of our tricks. We're in the mix like trail. The mic in my hand becomes a Molotov cocktail, igniting your vicinity from now till infinity, burning it down. We build a rock from the ground up. Jay Vigilante's a back on a roundup. We're trying to reach. Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick Korn.
Oh, I'm on this one.
And I'm Ryan Truitt.
And welcome to the Elite Goose Studios podcast, Reware Game Review, episode 15, Brick Wars. Every thought that we draw comes smarter than you, and I know that our presence is bothering you. The beat breaks and we shake the crowd. Rock at the horizon like a mushroom cloud. Starship troopers battle on in this insect. 5015, we drop hard like a gallow. Run and got climbing to the top of this profession. Really?
No.
Okay. So, Brick Wars. What do we say about Brick Wars?
Alright, well, Brick Wars is a departure from our usual domain in that it is not a video game. One might say that it's still a freeware game, even though there's not much ware involved.
But it's free and you get it off the internet.
But it's free and you get it off the internet, so I'd say it falls under our purview.
Purview?
Yeah.
The main thing that makes us expert about it is that we spent many years playing it.
Many years?
Years.
Yeah, I guess it has been.
Many years?
Many years.
Many years.
So, Brick Wars is a tabletop, well, mostly floor top.
Yeah,
basement top. War game.
So, living room.
Designed to be used with plastic building block systems.
Mainly Lego.
Mainly Lego, although they don't associate with them anymore.
Yeah, well, they call them PCBs, plastic construction.
Well, they never associated with them.
Well... Mr. Rayhawk is no longer associated with Lego.
No, he is again.
Oh, he's back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It was created in the early 2000-ish?
It's based off of an older one called Lego Wars, but that one actually got kicked out because Lego did not like how they used their name.
Yeah.
And Rayhawk was like one of the minor people with that.
Yeah.
And then he went out and started Brick Wars.
Which first had its release as Brick War 2000, then later Brick Wars 2001, which was incredibly complex. And Brick Wars 2005, the most latest version, which is slimmed down and simplified, but still good.
Yeah. And it's always had this certain
essence.
Like I've been told I'm wrong when I do this, but I always compare it to mainly Warhammer, certain other tabletop miniature type war games, just because It's simple. What you do is you take your army, you build it, you get yourself some infantry, you get tanks, you get airplanes, you get boats if you want. You pretty much build whatever you want, and then you figure out the stats, you give it guns, movement, armor, and then you and your friends, you just throw your armies at each other.
Mm-hmm.
But Brick Wars has always had this more...
open-end feeling.
Yeah, it focuses much more on like the fun and the random, just like, do crazy stuff aspect of it, whereas Warhammer is like... Highly
conquer your enemies.
Grim darkness.
Befell their women.
But like even
soil
from
their earth.
Soil their earth.
Soil their earth.
Pillage their women and rape their cows and...
Well, there's only one earth. It's called Holy Terra, alright?
But like, Warhammer is more like, you know, very rigidly defined in the way that you play, in the way that you set up your armies and stuff
and
like
the people
that.
People who play it.
Yeah. Whereas Brick Wars is kind of, isn't it like on one of the first pages they describe the rule of fudge?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's a picture of a bunch of Lego guys around a big piece of fudge.
Yeah. The rule of fudge stating, you know, make everything up that the other players let you.
Yeah, get away with everything that everyone will let you.
Yeah, because it has... Brick Wars has a big sense of humor about it. Like, in all the rule books and everything. Which is good, because, you know, it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, which means that you can just have, like, a lot of fun with it. You can have whatever you want.
Like, one of their example units in, you know, Special Creations is Professor Monkey for a Head. Who has a monkey for a head?
No, I mean, the true joy of playing Brick Wars is not really beating your friends, which, I mean, it is fun, but it's just really more showing off what you made with your Legos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is definitely cool.
And also making them interact. Mainly blowing the other person's up with your thing.
It's like, It's kind of, actually,
when you put it that way, it almost reminds me of Void.
Void?
Void was this it's this website where they have comic artists like create characters and then like put up bios and descriptions of them, mm-hmm. and then they have their characters fight other people's characters.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing something like that going around DeviantArt for a while.
Yeah, and in a way, it's almost like that. It's like, because like there, you would create your character and then you just have it play out what happens if they fight other characters, and mm-hmm. it's sort of just cool like that. Then here's kind of like with your army, like I build cool robots, you build cool robots. Let's see whose cool robot would win under a somewhat fair based system of rules.
I guess but there would probably be a lot less Mary suing in Brick Wars. Except when you play Nick, but
yeah, well,
I don't know.
It's like two or three generations removed, because it's a character. No, it's Legos based on a character that was based on a character that was based on me.
And the extent of his Mary Sue-ness is he found a giant gun somewhere.
Why not? Anyway.
So let's... Why don't we talk about the first version of Brick Wars we played, which was Brick Wars 2000. Brick Wars 2000 is very complex compared to 2005.
Yeah. Like, one of the things which keeps happening to us, which is, again, one of the great points about Brick Wars, is that we always have, Anders, you like to use horse-mounted cavalry.
And tanks.
Me and Ryan like to use mechs.
Yeah.
And that's completely allowed under the Brick Wars system.
But like they that even was always in 2000, the mechs
kind of won.
They yeah. were always winning.
In 2000, it had this sort of
they had this idea of like
tech
well,
levels,
yeah,
whereby you know cavemen and stuff. That's like okay, they're shitty. Knights and stuff. Okay, that's a little better. Spacemen, they rule the world.
Yeah, it's like cavemen are there, and they can hit stuff. Knights have armor. Spacemen have lasers. That's it.
Yeah.
So there were a long list of, like, hand weapons and a long list of, like, big weapons, and they all were very different. So a catapult was very different than
yeah, like
a
it,
laser gun.
It split everything up into the sense of, like if you want to have this sort of troop, it's like you can probably get exactly what you wanted, and then it would have stats for it.
So it worked perfectly well if you wanted to all have, like, armies with the same tech level.
Yeah, I think that was like one of the original rules was like you should agree on a tech level.
Yeah, or a tech
or
level.
A maximum tech level.
We always said it was just max.
Yeah.
Because we didn't care much about, you know, cost points or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where this whole sort of thing is kind of subverted in the newest version, 2005, which completely eschews the tech levels and everything. And it just says like, okay, you have hand weapons and you have bigger hand weapons and you have bigger hand weapons than that. And there's two kinds of guns, and it's just like, anything can fall under that you want. It's like, crossbow? Okay, that's a handgun. You know, little revolver thing? That's a handgun.
Yeah.
Magical laser stick? That's a handgun.
Yeah, it's... Well, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like, they just sort of, like, made it vague. So that way you can have whatever aesthetics you want, but then the game will continue to sort of be fair for all parties involved, because you don't have, like, the guy with the robot is overpowering the guys with the horse. But in a way, like, I don't know. I actually kind of liked, at least when they had, like, the more specific, like, weapons.
Mm.
I kind of like it when they broke that up more, because, I mean, it's, almost what happens is it comes down to, like, since everything is pretty much the same, what happens is it's just, like,
Who has more?
Kind of, like, who has more, or, like, because if you take equal parties and, like, throw them together, odds are it'll come down to a stalemate. Or, not quite a stalemate, but it's like what happened last game that we played, where me and Brian each came down to a group of five guys who just stood across from each other, and we went down one by one in each squad.
Yeah.
That's why I think the original, like, slightly more complex rules were actually kind of better, because that didn't happen as often, because there was more deviation in the types of units you could have.
Well, yeah, because one thing that's different about the two is that back in 2000 rules, there were lots of different kinds of troopers. Like, there were troopers and scouts and, like, ninjas. And
the ninjas were awesome.
Yeah, the ninjas were awesome.
Ninjas, heroes, medics, war mages.
Engineers.
The engineers were cool.
Yeah, the engineers were cool.
And I wish they would bring back the engineers.
Well, there's no reason why we can't.
I know. The reason why we're kind of talking about both, or all of the rules that we know at the same time, is because they, like, pretty much openly advocate that you can come up with whatever you want. Like, even in the 2001 rules, it kept having notes after, like, each section of rules that said, like, you can ignore any of this that you want. Just have fun.
Yeah. Like, they had, in one of their supplemental materials, they had, like, really ridiculously complex rules for making mechs.
Yeah.
And for each little, like, rule block thing that they printed up, they always had, like, a little face next to it, like, how friendly this rule was.
Yeah.
The almost entirely of that was red frowny face. It was just like, really, guys, don't use this unless you really, really want to. There's no reason for it.
The only reason we came up with this was there was one guy on the forum who didn't shut up.
Yeah. 2001 rules also had the supernatural powers, which was really fun, but also really retardedly broken.
Yeah.
Like, that just broke the game.
I remember using that, like, once or twice.
I still like the system, but it needs some serious balancing.
Yeah, I never actually used it in any of my armies, but I think that was because I never looked into it to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like...
Well, it was really kind of simple. Like, it was just like, you give your guys a pool of, you know, SP points, which is like, okay, I give this guy 15 SP points. And then depending on, like, how vague you let the rules of how they use it be, it could be like, I have 15 SP points for everything, or I have 15 SP points for fire, or I have 15 SP points for throwing myself at really high speeds.
Yeah.
And then it was like, you know, just, okay, so range is this many SP points for that much range, and then damage is this much SP points for this much damage, and everything else it just kind of lets you made up.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, I damage people by hurling spectral donuts from nowhere at them. Okay.
He's like, yeah, that's cool. And then we had donuts. But,
I don't know, because I thought it was supposed to be extremely complex, the 2000. And the 2005, you can still, there are rules to, like, modify the guns.
Hold on, he's doing something.
Hello.
Now you're in front of the microphone.
Am I being, okay.
Yeah, and the thing about Brick Wars is that it's very much still kind of a work in progress.
In the sense that, you know, since it is supposed to be friendly to people, but, like, adaptable for the people who want something more complex, who would rather have Warhammer but are broke. So, it's like, it's the rules and rule sets that people use are always sort of in flux. And I think the official rules are just sort of, like, maybe they're trying to find a mediation of how it is, or they're just, like,
well,
saying it's...
they're still kind of, like, rebalancing the official rules and stuff. Like, if you go onto the Brick Wars forums, which are half really cool and half... like, underage kids typing retarded shit. Like, they're still working on balancing vehicle weapons and stuff. Mm. Because as it is, it's like, it's better to mount a rifle onto your vehicle than a level 1 vehicle weapon.
Yeah.
But you'll also find a lot of people working on, like, community rules there. Like, I was in a discussion regarding flamethrowers and shit before. I like the rules we came up with flamethrowers. It's like, you need to carry around big explosive cans. Ooh. That's how you balance big powerful guns. Have them explode.
What about the chain flame gun thrower?
Oh, the chain flame gun thrower.
That was so marvelous. I remember the rule I tried to make for that was like, it creates a cone of fire, like, at this angle to this range, and anything in it gets fire damage.
Actually, that's pretty much how they ruled for, like, big spraying guns.
Really?
Like, they have rules for a minigun. It's just like, spread out your two fingers. Everything within the cone has to, like, roll to not get hit.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, you know, spread out your two fingers, then, you know, carry it out to 8 inches or so.
Let's talk more about vehicles.
Yeah, vehicles are fun, because that's where you can get a lot of the creativity into the game. Because, really, you can make whatever the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm.
You really can. Like, there's rules for, like, simple constructions, where it's just like, here's a plate with some wheels on it, and, like, a guy can sit here and drive it. And you kind of treat everything you build in sort of the same way. Like, you treat cars and buildings and giant robots and motorcycles and, like, mobile artillery platforms and shagglehods, and you treat all this stuff pretty much the same way. Like, it's big, it's a block, if it has wheels, it can move, if it has guns, it can shoot, and somebody has to sit inside of it.
Yeah, it's really open-ended, so you can have, you know, anything you want to build fighting each other. Like, Nick had his Moses mech that was powered by burning bushes.
Yeah! Mm-hmm. And then... well, there was a... I love the time when we both had Tachikomas. and like three battles in a row where he had his and I had mine.
We charged them into each other and they both exploded.
Well, no, the first time we charged them into each other on purpose.
Yeah.
The second time, like, mine got
the engine shot out or something.
Or like the controls got fried and it was like, just pick a direction and fly. It happened to, it like, die chance was it was in the direction of yours.
Yeah.
The third time was like, your hero jumped onto mine and like shoved the guy out of the way and just drove it at yours, said to my guy, I was trying to take yours or something.
Oh.
I think the once I landed ninjas on it and it resulted in it crashing into his. Like, I killed the pilot. Yes.
Oh, yeah, it was covered in ninjas.
It was covered
in
ninjas.
It was covered in my ninjas, but they jumped off.
This is a game where you can have dueling spider robots covered in ninjas crashing into each other under an airship.
Yes.
Exploding.
No. Yeah, you remember my airship that I built that just had, like, the
giant nuclear reactor?
We stopped building airships, because you just crashed them.
I know. Well, no, because that's why I just built one that was designed to just explode over your army and kill everything below it.
But then it just crashed into mine.
I know.
That's why we don't build airships anymore.
And then we shot his and dropped that onto your army.
Yeah.
Your army got wrecked that game.
It did. It's all the airships were blowing up over it.
Yeah. But there was, like, in the 2000? Kerpow?
Kerpow was 2000.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the 2000 rules, they had something called the Kerpow table.
Which I still very much like. I want to bring that back for 2005.
I think we just have, like, nostalgia, the Kerpow table. That Kerpow table, I remember we getting very angry with.
I still like it. I don't know what you're talking about.
I like it because it can be, like, it can either just be dramatic or it could just be something to piss you off. Because the Kerpow table was like this. In the 2000 rules, the way you calculated damage for vehicles rendered you a number. And, like, and the Kerpow table was just, like, a list of numbers and corresponding effects on the vehicle. Except for two, because apparently it was impossible to get a two. But we kept getting twos. We're just that good.
So what you do is, like, you compare the damage you've done to a vehicle to their armor, and if you overcome the armor, you add how much you got it by, and you roll a d20 and you look at the Kerpow table, which has all sorts of crazy effects on it. Like, I believe a 1 actually makes the vehicle function better.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, some will be like, you scare the pilot and he has to go find some place to relieve himself before he can drive again.
Yeah, so you have to, like, make him get out and run across.
Or, you know, if you get a 20, it's like the engine flies out of the hood into the air and explodes. The vehicle is useless and everyone on the field, like, just cries at the glorious sight.
Just for 5 minutes, and then they go back to battle.
I think that was 18. I think 20 was just... It just exploded.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. But it was just... It was delicious.
And there were a couple other tables that went along with it, like the Kerdum table, and also there were...
yeah, the Kerdum table for stupid things.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
If the person... If the minifig or the, like, the Livid construction was doomed... Or deemed... Not doomed. Was deemed stupid... It would have to make an occasional roll on that.
And like, yeah, like highest, an ogre or something would have a Kerdum table.
And the highest roll was it would forget to exist and just be removed from the table or field.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Or whenever it had to do something that that required more, like...
Yeah, like if you had an ogre prowess. And it was like, I wanted to do something other than hit people. It's like, I don't know, could it do that? Roll on the Kerdum.
And there was also like a Kerpow table for like teleporting.
And there was a Kerteleport table.
Really? And
It was like Kervoip or something. I don't think it was in the core rules.
Yeah, I don't.
I think that was 2001. I think all these other ones were in 2001.
Possibly. I remember there was like a Kermetic table.
Kermetic table.
Kertriage.
Cool. Oh yeah, Kertriage.
Kertriage. I remember that once. Wait, that wasn't me rolling 100. That was a different rule set.
We just kind of made that up.
Yeah, we were like, that's...
you tried...
For guidance, one time Nick had a hero who was also a medic, and he got shot, and we deemed that if he could roll 100 on 2d10...
He could unconsciously roll over onto his bandolier of...
His
medical equipment.
Like syringes and scalpels and stuff. Just roll over onto it unconsciously and heal himself.
And he did it.
I got 100 in one roll.
And I just cried.
And everybody cried and clapped. And she just sat up and was like, hooray! And then tried to find a gun. But she couldn't because she was a medic.
And I just remember my guards just shot him again.
Yeah, and then she just died.
Yeah.
I was listening to the Dwarf Fortress podcast last night because I had nothing better to do. And I almost feel it's part of it's the same way. Like, it's a system of rules that when you go back and tell the story later, it just becomes so much better because in your mind it was big and epic. Mm. Even though, you know, you're really just rolling dice. But at the same time, Tachikoma's covered in ninjas.
On fire.
In a hospital, I don't remember my ninjas being on fire at the moment, but I'm sure they were later in the battle.
Yeah. And this is like the 2001 rules. And the 2005 rules, again, it's sort of... It still has that feeling.
Because, I think it has that feeling even more, because...
Because, like, what happened is, what do you call it? You had your cavalry guy, or your medieval guys with crossbows. I had a guy in a mech. You shot the pilot out of my mech. I got another guy to jump in. You shot him out. I got another guy to jump in. You shot him out. And the last one was Duke Chaingun. You could not get him.
Meanwhile, there was a rocket dragon flying through the field because someone shot the pilot off of him. And it had rockets strapped to it, so we just decided that it went straight through the field every three turns or something.
Well, no, every time my turn came around, since it was originally my vehicle, it would just go at whatever speed it was going last. Which
just was top speed was like,
inches.
Yeah.
So it went around. We decided the basement works like asteroids, so it went off of one side, came back on the other side, and ran into one of his cavalry units.
Yeah.
And killed it. I was like, yay, Rocket Dragon.
Yeah, my cavalry did not fare well in that match.
Guys on horses versus giant robots. Still not the best idea.
Yeah. I just like the new ones because the best part... I mean, I just remember buying Lego sets when I was young, and they would always have those like epic battles on the back of all the units.
Yeah.
And the 2005 rules, you're basically reenacting those with each battle because you are fighting with different tech levels in each match.
Yeah, they don't get bogged down with all the tech level stuff, so it's like, it's alright if you have giant robots and space marines fighting zombie men.
I know, which is usually happening.
Which is awesome!
So, like, yeah, my knight with a broadsword is fighting a Jedi knight, and they're just fighting on top of a building while mechs and catapults are fighting in the background.
Or, like, while the mech with the buzzsaw is trying to cut them off of the top of the building.
That was fun.
That was fun.
And also, now your armies don't have to be from the same tech... Like, I still had giant robots in my army when I had knights in it.
Yeah.
This, the giant robot, was also piloted by undead people.
Yeah.
I like to play with undead a lot.
Because you got a bunch of castle sets with skeletons in it.
I know, and zombies.
Yeah.
But because I bought a lot of Darth Vaders.
Yeah, but like, this is what's so great about the game, is that it's like, it's still a war game. Like,
I want to say, though, when you said earlier that you could play this game as a substitute for Warhammer, it's not, this is very, this,
well,
it's a war game.
Like, 2005 rules, no. 2001 rules,
maybe.
Closer? Like,
there are other brick Lego war games that are more similar.
Well, of course.
That are more, like, I don't know.
But, I mean, they all work among the same, like, backdrop of, like, some people on the internet were looking for something you could play with Legos that was a war game. So, I think the reason why I think we're talking about Brick Wars instead of any of those is just because, I don't know, is it, like, the most popular, or
well,
is
Steve Jackson's Pirate Legos is probably the next most popular, because Pirate Legos are still really fun, and that's, like, one of the big things that Lego did for its fans. They started releasing pirate sets again, even though they've stopped already. But they did for another year, so people could buy more pirate ships to play the game.
Nice.
And yes, it's that Steve Jackson that really makes the game, even though it's not an official Steve Jackson game.
But then there's also, like, Mechaton and that other robot one that has, like, the modular part system so that you can just blow an arm off, pick it up, and put it on yours.
Yeah.
But it's like...
Not Mechaton. You just said it.
Yeah. But, so we have all these ones, but I think Brick Wars is just, like, the biggest, like, you can do whatever you want with this system.
Well, it captures the essence of Legos and wargaming.
Yeah. Because the reason why I always compare it to Warhammer and such is just because, like, when you look at it at a base level, you have an army that sort of represents you and your type of units that you like and all of that, and you're throwing it against another army, and you're using dice to determine the outcome of the battles. In that sense, all war games, tabletop war games, are kind of the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the only reason why I always look at it that. But, like, even, like, Mage Knight or Warhammer, like, there's always going to be, like, certain things that are going to change the play mechanics, so it's you just play it to taste. But, like, you know, Legos, a lot of people have Legos around anyway just because it's fun to build stuff. Mm. And this is, you know, it's like we were saying earlier. You can show off what you've built and it's just like a war game that allows you to do whatever you want. It's a nice, adaptable whatever you want.
I just solved one of those never mind.
That's why it was all clinky for a bit.
One of those nasty hooky puzzles. I hate those. So yeah, Brick Wars. It's like I can't think of the word that I'm trying to think of. Like it justifies you still having a bunch of Legos despite, you know, not being 12.
It validates?
Yeah.
Well, Legos validate themselves, but this just adds to it.
Like
the best thing we can say is, do you have Legos still around? Do you have other people with Legos still around? Play this game with them.
At least once.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, if you like sort of like war games, you play this game definitely, because it's like it really is the most do whatever the hell you want kind of war game you have, and it's Legos. I mean, honestly, you could probably use this system for like what do you call it?
Plastic army men or something.
Yeah, I mean, and you could just say like these are infantry guys. The ones holding their guns like this have this different stat or something. I mean. It's the kind of thing where you could substitute anything for anything else, but
yeah.
I think that's just the nature of the world in general.
You mean wargaming?
No, just the world.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, you could get a bunch of Lego men and get, you know, the Space Marines codec and say, okay, these guys count as assault terminators.
Yeah.
But,
and
you know.
I'm thinking we should try that just because. But,
okay.
But, like, I don't think that would be, like, maybe it would be as fun as Brick Wars, but I think I like Brick Wars better. Because, like, then you don't have to say, oh no, this is this kind of Space Marine. You know, it's like, no, this is my Chainsaw Ninja. And it's like, okay.
Well, except Warhammer does have Chainsaw Ninjas.
Yeah, but they don't have orange Chainsaw Ninjas.
Oh, right, they don't have orange Chainsaws.
Superior to the other.
And you can't have your Chainsaw Ninja go into battle with, like, a horse golem made out of something, I don't know.
Skeleton.
You can't have him shot out of a giant cannon in a tiny glider.
Yeah. You can't have, you know, your naval battle where your robots are jumping from boat to boat.
You want to do that.
I want to do that.
I want to do that.
I guess I want to do it.
Well, no, a naval battle is good, but I don't know how to build boats. I'm going to have, like, one boat with all of my mechs in it, and then just, like, float that into the middle and have the mech spread out.
You just build bowls and then put guns on the sides.
I know.
Like, you have a lot of boat sets or
I do
pieces. I'm gonna buy a couple for my birthday.
Yeah, people should just get me money for my birthday so I can buy Legos. We should just buy each other Legos for our birthdays.
Okay,
that actually sounds pretty good.
Okay, I think yours already passed.
Yeah.
Haha.
Instead of us getting each other Legos, why don't we just go out and get us Legos and we'll just say, okay, I got, this is what you got for me.
Okay,
that kind of works.
Yeah, July 28th, the birthday that will pierce the heavens.
Yeah.
Be there.
Unless you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, have we said all there is to say about Brick Wars?
Yeah, I don't know if we want to go, like, in-depth with the rules or anything, because, I mean, the game doesn't bog itself down with the rules, so why should we bog up the podcast with it?
As you can tell from Legos itself, there's two levels. There's minifig combat and vehicle combat. And sometimes you put those hands together.
It's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
And it really is sort of since there is such a variation between like the different editions of the rules you want to play with. There's supplements to the rules on the forums and stuff.
Yeah.
Like for certain conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So really, if you want to know about like the nitty gritty of playing, you have to go look for it yourself. And I'll put links to the Brick Wars site in the podcast show notes. But what else do you need to know? It's a war game using Legos.
Yeah, it's as much about building as it is ordering little guys around.
It's about destruction, too. I mean, maybe we should, like, read some excerpts from the rules, because all those, like, little quotes by the pictures.
Oh, yeah, they've got great... The rule books have a good sense of humor to them, but it's not one of those games where the whole point is to, you know, read the rule book because it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, Fatal. I don't think anyone's actually supposed to play Fatal.
All right. So, final thoughts. Why should we play Brick Wars? Or why should the internet play Brick Wars? We play Brick Wars because we have Legos.
Yeah, if you have, you know, old Legos and you want to spark a new interest in them, you know, this is something you can use them for.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way to just spend time with friends. I mean, it's competitive, but at the same time, if you lose, you still have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you lose, you know, you have a pile of bricks to make something new with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's I want to say it's almost like D&D in that it's collaborative storytelling.
Yeah.
It can be.
And sometimes it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I still want to try doing a...
Well, D&D really isn't that sort of thing.
D&D is a
D&D is, you know, dungeon combat sim.
Some players will do it like that. But then they'll go to maybe something like Burning Wheel or something. A different... But you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Which, I still want to do a campaign Brick Wars thing.
Where I still want to do a Dwarf Fortress Succession game.
I was thinking about Dwarf Fortress last night, because I was listening to the Dwarf Fortress podcast.
Yeah.
Right, I already said that. No, but like we should just come up with like a really simple sort of like setting.
There is a good role playing Lego system.
Really?
Yeah, there is.
What is it?
I can find the link to it on Brick Wars. Brick Wars, the website, just has a good link to other wargaming.
Oh yeah, site. They've got links to all sorts of Lego community sites like Maelug and stuff.
All right, so I think we're done with this.
That's right. I'm 18. I can join Maelug.
Oh, hi.
The what?
The New England Lego users group. Maelug.
Okay.
They still organize, like, Brick Wars battles and stuff. They're cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And they just all get together and just make big Lego, like, towns or something like that.
Okay.
This is going to require a lot of editing.
No, it's not, because this podcast is over. Go out. If you have Legos and you like war games or strategy or...
If you like Legos.
If you like building stuff and then using it to blow up other stuff that people have built, play this game.
As a child, when you play with Legos, the only thing you ever made was, like, things that were used for war.
Yes.
Like, horrible war machines that should never be made by man. Then you'll like this game.
I once statted a 10-story blender.
This podcast is over. All right.
There was a decorated general with a heart of gold that likened him to all the stories he told of past battles won and lost and legends of old. A seasoned veteran in his own time, on the battlefield he gained respectful fame with many medals of bravery and stripes to his name. He grew a beard as soon as he could to cover the scars on his face and always urged his men on. But on the eve of a great battle with the infantry and dream, the old general tossed in his sleep and wrestled with its meaning. He awoke from the night to tell what he had seen and walked slowly out of his tent. All the men held tall with their chests in the air, with the courage in their blood and a fire in their stare. And it was a gray morning and they all wondered how they would fare. So the old general told them to go home. He said, I have seen the others and I have discovered that this fight is not worth fighting. And I've seen their mothers and I will no other to follow me where I'm going. So take a shower and shine your shoes, you got no time to lose. You are young men, you must be living. Take a shower and shine your shoes, you got no time to lose. You are young men, you must be living. Go now, you are forgiven.
Fleebnork is a sort of interstellar scorpion-like creature which feeds on power lines.
If you say it backwards, I believe it's corned beef.
I have to go now.